When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's the Fry-Yay Cocktail, presented by Anna Glavinsky.
Now, if you're sometimes feeling overwhelmed with all the bad news that's going on around the world, I wouldn't blame you. And I don't think our next guest here would either, because she's been there herself, but actually decided to take some action about it, about how she was feeling, and perhaps about how she, and maybe you included, could contribute to making things just a little bit better. Her new book is called Conversations on Kindness. Good afternoon, Bernadette. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Yeah, and like I said, that so you actually describe being feeling overwhelmed by bad news, and that sort of triggering a new way, a new outlook, a new way of doing things. Can you just explain to us what was going on in the world and what was making you feel like that?
Well, when I first began this, some might say foolhardy venture, was back in 2011, and there were. Some people might remember there were riots in London during that period that had been sparked by the death of a young black man, Mark Duggan, in Tottenham. And there were riots, and then the response of the press at the time to the riots were incredibly negative and sort of lacking in any kind of analysis or compassion. And it sort of it was kind of the last straw, because I'd been thinking about a lot of the kind of bad news at that time, you know, the climate crisis and oil shortages and famine and war. And I just started thinking, God, I don't think these things are so huge. I don't think there's anything I can do about any of them. Mm. And then very shortly after that, I was in the post office, and I ended up paying this young man for his stamp. He didn't have enough money to pay for his stamp. And he said, thank you. And I thought, well, it was only a little thing, but it kind of did make a difference. So after that, I committed to doing a kind thing for a stranger every single day for a year. So that was back in, it started on August the 18th of 2011, but I've actually carried it on ever since. So I do something every day.
And so you're actively looking out for people, and you're thinking, how can I be kind to this person? What sort of situations are you, are you looking out for situations? Are you actively creating situations? How do you make it work?
That's a really good question. Thank you. It's sort of a combination of both. I would say, because I've been doing it for such a long time now, I've got better at spotting it. Most days I would look out and the opportunity would present itself, like someone might need, you know, help getting something down from a shelf or help with carrying a suitcase or a buggy up some stairs. It's that kind of everyday stuff, just keeping an eye out for it. Buying food and hot drinks if I met homeless people on the street. But you're right, actually, in saying sometimes I had to sort of create the opportunity. I had to sort of have it backed up, because I'd promised to do it every day. So I started making like handmade cards and little gifts and carrying them around in my bag, so that if it was getting towards the end of the day and nothing had immediately presented itself, I would just give someone some flowers or give someone a box of cakes or give someone a little present or a card. So I sort of made sure I always had a few things in my bag. I was looking out for opportunities. That was really good fun, actually. And I started presenting it really early on by saying, oh, I'm trying to do a good deed every day. And that was really helpful, because people understand that expression, I think. Understand what good deed.
So you would actively tell the person that you were doing a good deed for, this is your reason behind doing it.
Not always. Sometimes it was, if there was any resistance, or I thought they might wonder what I was doing or why I was approaching them, I'd say, oh, don't be alarmed. I've come up to talk to you. I'm trying this thing, trying to do a good deed, an act of kindness every day for a year. And then they'd be like, oh, that's interesting. We'd have a little chat about what I was doing. And they might, often people would tell me really lovely stories about things that had happened to them or things they'd done. So I kind of had that prepared in case there was any sort of resistance or, you know, because it's quite a thing to be approached by a stranger. So it was just to sort of soften that approach and make sure that people weren't worried.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that. And obviously, I want to hear more and more about the good acts and to get some warm and fuzzy feelings. But I am curious, though, especially with what you've just said there, any times that it backfired, any time that that someone didn't want your kindness or it just sort of didn't go down very well?
It's funny. So a couple of things about that. During the course of the year, I learned about negativity bias. Okay. I don't mean to bring this up as a criticism. It's a really interesting sort of body of work by a wonderful psychologist called Dr. Rick Hansen. And he noticed how he could only remember bad things that happened, or he remembered them more easily. And learning about, because I did quite a lot of scientific research behind the whole science of kindness and stuff, and he sort of discovered that the reason we remember things, like you were saying, the one time that someone wasn't responding well, was because it was to protect ourselves. So we might have a day out and about, and we'll get home and our partner might say, oh, how was your day? And you say, oh, someone pushed in front of me in the queue, when actually 100 amazing things happened. But we kind of find it harder to recall positive things. So I just mentioned that because everybody always says to me, what was the bad thing? They always ask that first. So I think that's really interesting about human beings.
Yeah.
And I'm always working on overcoming that as well, reminding myself to pay attention to the many, many good things that happen during the day and the many, many good news stories as well. So that's quite interesting. But it is still extremely rare. And I never take it personally, because I think, you know, I don't know what day that person's had. I don't know if they don't like talking to people, if they're having a difficult day. So I never, ever take it personally. So I'd say if anyone's trying that, don't take rejection of what you offer personally. Because also, what is a kind thing to what for one person, like a bunch of flowers? For someone else, they might be like, I don't like flowers.
Yeah, I've got hay fever. I'm allergic. Yeah.
Or, you know, some people really like a hug and other people are like, don't touch me. That's not. So there's that. So there's lots of learning around that. I did learn really early on to be careful when approaching people in train stations. Simple reason. Obviously, people are hurrying to get a train, or they're on the way to work, or they've just got to get to the platform in time. So the two times in the first year that it didn't go so well were both at train stations. And I quickly was like, that's not a good idea, because I'm just interrupting someone as they were. So in a way, it wasn't intended to be unkind, but it's a kind of unkind thing. So, but still overwhelmingly rare to have a negative response.
Oh, that's good. And that moves us then nicely onto the warm and fuzzies. What are some of your favourite memories from this, where it really went really well and you thought, I've had a great impact on somebody's day today?
Yeah, well, what's unusual about it is, because it was strangers and has been largely strangers, I mostly had to sort of trust from their reaction that it had a positive reaction. But I didn't,
I suppose so.
I rarely found out about it.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of times that I did. So one time a friend of mine asked me to make a card for a friend of hers who I didn't know, who was really down. And I did. And this was kind of a strange serendipity. But so I made, handmade him a card. I do a lot of handmade cards. She'd given me his address. I posted it to him and I just explained in the letter. I said, I hope you're feeling better soon. And months later, it was probably a good 3 months later, he contacted me and he said, I was completely overwhelmed by that card. And I did a collage on the front of the card, and I, for no reason whatsoever, I'd stuck a picture of Harold Lloyd on the face. And it's really weird, because I really love Harold Lloyd movies. And it was a strange coincidence. He said, and also I just couldn't believe that a stranger would go to that much trouble to do that for me. And it did cheer me up. He was sort of post an operation that had been quite painful and difficult. He said, and I started going out. So it's sort of that thing that you sent me did start me on my journey to recovery. And that was just an amazing thing to hear, a really lovely thing to hear. And then the second one that really springs to mind is my friend contacted me and she told me about her nana had passed away and her nana's best friend was bereft without her friend. And so I said, oh, well, let me send her a present. So I sent her some lavender perfume. I found out she liked lavender and I made her a card. And she said to Kirsty that it was such a lovely surprise that it gave her the confidence to start leaving the house again. So that way I did find out as well, secondarily through my friend. So those were both really nice things. And I thought, I think when you're doing it, or certainly my advice to anyone that was doing it, is just kind of to have faith that the least you're going to do is put a smile on someone's face. But actually, it might do more than that. You know, I know I notice myself because I'm often the recipient of kindness myself. It can restore your sort of confidence in the world in a little bit and in human nature. So they are really powerful things, I think.
And how else did it affect you? You know, you say that you are a recipient of kindness. Do you think this is a karma thing? You know, you get what you put out and that sort of thing?
It's interesting, isn't it? I do actually. I mean, there's a sort of, I get sort of returning again to the science, or the neuroscience. Our bodies, and obviously this I learned about during the first year of doing it. So our bodies reward us when we do kind deeds. So with the what are called the helpers hormones, our bodies reward us with oxytocin, with dopamine, and serotonin. So that fuzzy feeling that you talked about, those are your body kind of rewarding you with those things. And oxytocin in particular is astonishing hormone, which is released when you do something kind, because it actually lowers your blood pressure and it heals wounds faster, takes care of your heart. So I think on a purely scientific, biological level, we do get rewards, all of us, when we do kind things, which is great. But when I was really despairing about the news, and I have been since, because let's face it, it is difficult to watch from time to time and with greater frequency at the moment. I'm sort of returned to hope by not only by doing acts of kindness, but by noticing how many times I receive kindness, which is many times, and also noticing other people be kind to each other. Like I'm always, you know, you notice when somebody helps somebody with a child and a buggy up some steep stairs, yeah. Or you notice somebody gives some money to a homeless person, or yeah, that kind of thing happens. It's happening all over the world at every moment. And you realise that. You just sort of have to, it's like looking at the world from a different window, I guess. It's the same world, but choosing to see it from a different window.
And in like dedicating yourself to this project, how much did it sort of get in your head and you'd apply those rules throughout the rest of your day and in every aspect of your life? Like, or would you do your act of kindness and then be like, well, I've done it now. Now I'm going to go and throw a bag of kittens out the window. Like...
I love that. Yeah, I've taken a show on the road for a long time, and in it I always joke and say I'm only doing acts of evil now because I've finished my acts of kindness. You're absolutely right. So I would make sure that I did an act of kindness every day, and also quite bold, quite big things. But yes, by doing that and focusing on kindness, that really focused me on generally kind of being kind. So, you know, checking in with people if they looked like they were in trouble, asking people if they needed directions, if they looked lost, thanking the bus driver, you know, it's all those. I guess, you know, they're really just good manners, you could say. But it's easy when you're busy and you're rushing around in your daily life to not pay attention to the world around you, especially if you're looking at your phone or listening to a podcast or something. So I'd say it has expanded out into every aspect of my life, including, although that took me longer, to be kind to myself, you know, and including that circle of kindness to extend to the more than human. So but really quickly, I was like, this can't just be about people. It has to be about looking after trees. I became a tree planting supervisor and planted a lot of trees, started feeding birds, started clearing up litter. So it's sort of extended and grown and has continued to. I'd say I continue to learn about it.
And on that note of being kind to yourself, how much do you feel that this is almost a burden that you have to carry? And are you forgiving to yourself if you do have a grumpy day? You know, you think, oh, I could have been a bit nicer to that person, or I was a bit snappy there, or, you know, I made a choice, I bought from a supermarket chain that I know exploits, you know, you could really go very, very far in trying to be kind.
Yeah.
And you have to draw a line and be kind to yourself and the decisions you're making.
Yeah, I don't think I hear all of that. I don't think you have to draw a line so much as absolutely forgive yourself for being human. So there's something there's in that is a kind of humble, useful humility, which is I'm human. Sometimes I'm going to be grumpy, take more than my fair share of pizza, buy something unethical accidentally or on purpose because I'm in a rush. Of course, we have to forgive ourselves. It's really important. I think the good thing about daily small acts of kindness is it's possible to do something every day, even on your worst day, even if that is literally just smiling at the bus driver, even if that is just picking up a little bit of litter that's in the road and putting it in the bin. It can be tiny, but there's something about daily practice that's really transformative. And absolutely, we have to forgive ourselves for being imperfect because it's overwhelming. It's impossible, you know. I'm still, of course, grumpy, greedy, and just naughty sometimes. I don't think I ever do anything awful to kittens. But it's definitely sometimes, you know, I'm imperfect, like all human beings are. So I think it's a really good point you made to forgive yourself and just acknowledge that we're doing our best.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much food for thought there, really so much. And moving on to the book now, you know, you made this commitment, you went through this challenge and then you put pen to paper. What was that process like and how did you bring it all together into this book?
Yeah, it's quite a long gap really between when I first began doing it and the writing of the book. And in the intervening period, I'd taken this show. I've been touring this show for a long time, all over this country and in the States. But I had wanted to write a book, and I don't really know why, but I didn't feel like I was ready or how to tell it. And then my publishers, I said, oh, I think I want to write this story. I feel like I really want to write it. And their fantastic take on it was to tell that story and also to connect with and get interviews and contributions from the many experts who, you know, scientists, philosophers, activists, artists, many, many different kinds of people who in their own ways were expert in this as well, to sort of support my own journey. So what's in terms of the text, it wasn't just the story of what happened to me, but this broader, wider story. So then, I started doing that and interviewing people and chatting to people and trying to make sense of this story. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it helped me to kind of to make sense of it. So it's really useful, and I really hope that it's useful for other people as well. I think it's important to have sort of human stories and contributions from artists and people that are on the front line of kindness work, as well as academics and scientists, because then I felt like there was something for everyone. And even if you were doubting it, there'd be somebody there that might be able to persuade you.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's incredibly inspiring. I really, really do. And what have some of the responses been, whether it's not just specifically to the book, but to the, you know, the concept in general, that might have surprised you, or that things that will stay with you for a long time?
Yeah, always, always really positive. So I've been carried on touring the show, which is called 366 Days of Kindness, and to promote the book. And in it, there's always open places for conversations with people. It's been quite a lot of rural touring in the UK with a production company called Applause. So I've been in quite small places, quite small communities for the most part. And everybody's got stories to tell. So I always do this thing. I say, let's nominate a local champion of kindness. And the local people come up with their stories. And they're incredible. And it what happens then is everybody hears their local friends and neighbours' stories, and sometimes their stories that they've never heard before, you know, about the kind and beautiful things that their friends and neighbours have done. So I think people are really positive, and they tell me they're really inspired and they're encouraged, and they're really pleased that there's some way that's possible, affordable and doable to sort of counter this terrible sort of deluge of negative and bad news. So yeah, I'm really encouraged. I keep thinking, oh, I will stop having this conversation and I'll stop telling this story. But I am continued to be asked to tell it and to share it. So
yeah, I'm not surprised. I honestly, you know, you brought up about bad news just then, and I was like, oh, I'd completely forgotten. I'd got so wrapped up into this little world that you're sharing. It is absolutely captivating. Bernadette, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon here on Talk Radio Europe. I'll give the details about the book and I'll say goodbye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that there was Bernadette Russell, and her book is called Conversations on Kindness. You can find it on Amazon or check it out on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.